Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is at 12:56 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time, and today is July 17th. Well, it was a reasonably quiet day on stock markets today. If we have a quick look at the futures markets, we can see that the majority of indices were up or down in the region of about 0.5%. Where the exceptions were in China, for example, where it was down almost about on the cash market it was down 1%. In the futures it's down an additional 0.8% right now. The Australian market was a little bit softer, but by and large it was a mixed day in Europe, but again very quiet. And then after what was a very robust week in terms of stock market returns last week, the majority of indices were quiet so far. But now look at the S&P 500, it is squeaking out a gain for the day. The Nasdaq 100 is pretty much flat on the day, and it is perhaps those markets that are perhaps worth looking at to start off with. The S&P 500 has had one of the most consistent trends of anything out there for the last year. And if we just examine what the consistency characteristics are since, most particularly since November and the presidential election, then reactions have been limited to approximately 50 points. There was one that was somewhat larger. It was about 80 points in March and April. The most recent one was about 50 points, and then it broke on the upside on Friday. And provided it continues to hold the advance, provided we continue to get a staircase step sequence uptrend where each range is resolved by an upward break and each breakout is sustained and does not pull back into the underlying range that would create the step sequence, then we give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. Because in the absence of a clear downward dynamic that either signals a failed upside break or a break in the progression of higher reaction lows or a pullback below the trend mean, then we don't have a reason to question the consistency of this advance. A consistent trend is a trend in motion, and a trend in motion is one that does and that it still has the rhythm of the consistency that has driven it so far. The Nasdaq 100 is lagging somewhat, having been clearly the outperformer. So while we're seeing an increasing number of markets that have either bounced emphatically from the region of their trend means or are breaking on the upside, the Nasdaq has lagged pretty much all of Wall Street. It was pretty much unchanged in here today. It has broken, though. At least it posted a new high today, so it has taken out the high from last June. And now the question is, having rallied so emphatically over 7 consecutive sessions, is it going to improve upon that performance further, or are we going to get a little bit of a pause and a consolidation? But what this also helps to ram home is that this is a rotational market, and what we have had is some of the steam coming out of the technology sector and moving into other sectors. And certainly the banks, the resources sectors, and biotechnology have been some of the beneficiaries. So, for example, if we look at the biotechnology sector, it was mildly negative territory today, but when we look at that on the weekly chart, then we can see that there's a very clear breakup out of a well-defined trading range, and that this is really quite impressive. Gilead Sciences, which was one of the better performing shares all the way up to the peak in 2015, and has subsequently experienced one of the sharpest declines, has exhibited some relative strength recently and continues to pause here in the region of the trend mean. But the most important thing it's done is break that progression of lower rally highs. So even some of the worst performers have just begun to exhibit some signs that demand is returning to dominance. This was a pretty impressive day on some of the commodity markets. So, for example, copper prices, which have been ranging in a process of mean reversion for a fair amount of time now, were additionally firm in here today, up 3.8 cents, and are pushing through that 270 area for the first time since really the end of February. So this would suggest that we are back in a demand-dominated environment, and that the chances are that the level around 250, which is around where the 200-day moving average is right now, is going to hold, and that this represents a first step above the type 2 base. And the relative performance of the industrial commodity complex is consistent with the view that we're back in a period of synchronized global economic expansion. And when we look at some of those big global indices, so for example, the Stoxx 50 was slightly softer in here today, but it has so far been in this corrective phase, which has taken it back towards the region of the trend mean. But it has bounced from the region of the trend mean. It's back now in an area where one would anticipate that it would should find support, and so far so good. It has is been finding support around this area. The FTSE 100 broke on the upside earlier this year, and it continues to hold that advance. That this is a significant breakout from a really quite lengthy range. The Nikkei has been held back somewhat by the strength of the yen over the last few sessions, but it continues to hold this 20,000 level, which has been a psychological hurdle for what really feels like an awfully long time. And if it can sustain a move above this level and pull away from the highs that we saw back in 2015, well, then we could conclude we're back in a demand-dominated environment that's more than short-term steadying, but potentially has medium or even long-term consequences. The Taiwanese market has broken on the upside after a very lengthy period trading below 10,000. The Korean market is doing the same thing. The Indian market, which what it has been creeping up towards that 10,000 level, was up a little bit additionally in here to get again today on the Nifty. And I think we can anticipate that we could get at least a pause around that psychological level. There have been enough of indices pausing and major shares pausing around at that 1,000 level that I think we have ample evidence that roundophobia is a legitimate way to look at some of these markets. Then, if we also look at the lumber market, I've highlighted a couple of articles on it today. There are some significant fires in British Columbia, and that is inhibiting supply. So, prices were limit up again in here today. But having bounced from the region of the trend mean, and they've been pretty much trending higher for a year and a half already, the most, I guess, the biggest story in the market has been the potential for a more than a stopgap agreement between Canada and the US about soft lumber imports. And that has been one of the abiding features of the market since the presidential election. But this fire story is more urgent, and not least because British Columbia has spent more in the last few weeks than it did in all of last year in controlling fires. So there is significant potential for this to sustain and move above 400 and to continue higher from here. And I think it's also worth keeping an eye on some of the commodities that are oversold. And white sugar, for example, was down again in here today. It is back pressuring its lows, and the progression of lower rally highs is still in play. That was really quite a large downward key reversal just six sessions ago, and it really does need to take out that high posted six sessions ago to really question that we're not still in a downward-dominated environment. But if we look at, for example, the coffee market, it was slightly softer in here today, but it has experienced a pretty significant rally, and it is now testing that medium-term progression of lower rally highs in the region of the trend mean. There's potential for some consolidation here, but it would really require a key or a large downward dynamic to question that we haven't seen a low of at least near-term, potentially even medium-term significance here. And I guess, well, my objectivity is somewhat colored by the fact that I have a long in it. Then, when we look at the cocoa price, it has been testing its lows, but it has bounced again over the last few sessions. And if we look at that on the weekly chart, then cocoa prices have been really quite weak for a significant amount of time already. They're back in an area of previous support, and if we could see a sustained move above 2,000, well, then that would begin to question the medium-term downward trend. So we're seeing some evidence, most particularly in the industrial commodities, that are of relative strength returning, and even some of those that have been weakest are experiencing, or at least are beginning to demonstrate some support beginning to be found. oil prices were down about 50 cents in here today again, and this remains an enormously volatile market. It really does need to sustain a move above $50 to break that progression of lower rally highs that's been in evidence since January. And in the absence of that, I think we have to give the benefit of the doubt to lower to lateral ranging. We had news out today that basically OPEC has been cheating on its, and of course this is hardly news because it is like herding cats trying to get all these different countries to abide by their production targets when so much money is at stake. But they have been very quietly missing their production containment targets. And that represents additional supply in the market. And that's quite apart from the fact that there has been a great deal of hedging going on in domestic U.S. supply, and that those hedges probably have a while yet before they run out. When we look at the currency markets, then I think the euro-dollar is where a lot of people will be keeping a very close eye. It is at 114.83, and it has pulled back from the region of 115 on a significant number of occasions over the last couple of years. It has been, I think, notably firm over the last 6 weeks. So this is the upper side of the range, and it is really open to, I think it is for the bulls to prove that we can get a sustained break up out of this level. What we have continued to see out of Wall Street is that there is, or I guess out of the Fed, is that there is an increasingly dovish conclusion from the Janet Yellen's prognostications last week, that they're in no hurry to raise interest rates, whereas Europe has got the economic growth it's been looking for. They have paid dearly for it by printing 2 trillion euros. Now the question is it sustainable, and to what extent are they going to be able to push through the kinds of reforms that would be growth positive? Europe is on the front foot at the moment, so it is potentially possible that the euro will sustain a move above 115, but considering that it has failed there twice already, I think that there is not a great deal to be gained by buying at the current level. Whereas the pound is also consolidating here. It is still around the 130 area. It's a little bit softer in here today, but the most important thing it's done in the last 6 months has been to break to new recovery highs and find support in the region of the trend mean. It's looking increasingly likely that this is a return to demand dominance after what has been a 3-year downtrend. And in the government bond markets, the long bond was a little bit firmer in here today. We can see that there was two rather large candles on the, tails on the candles on the last two sessions. When we look at this on the weekly chart, the most important thing it's done is fail to sustain the move above 155, and that was a very clear downside Q reversal on the failure. That would suggest that in the absence of a countermanding upper dynamic, that the most likely scenario is that we are going to go down and test the lower side of the range. When we think about the fact that the Fed doesn't quite have all of the inflationary evidence that it requires to be a bit more aggressive in raising interest rates, then the potential is that we're going to be in a rangy environment for government bond yields, and that they could potentially mess around between 2 and 2.5% for the next while. And as long as we don't have surging bond yields, then that's likely to be positive for stock markets. So yes, we have now we've got some short-term overbought conditions considering just how quickly things went up last week, but it would really require a clear break in the consistency of some of the trends that are out there to question the overall upward bias, and potentially that we are towards the end of what has been a 2-month corrective phase. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.